I'll just sort of ask these questions and we'll develop as we go, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay, so even though you're mostly based with, you mostly work with people that are have brain injuries and are with dementia, what is it about music therapy that's so important in today's society?
Well, I think it's a growing profession. So there are more courses that are offering music therapy training, and people are gradually becoming more aware of it. And I think that a lot of that is because we're kind of finally getting rid of that stigma about mental health. So people are starting to realize that everybody at some point has mental health difficulties, and that music is kind of innately can be quite therapeutic. So it sort of makes sense that then there's a profession that is music therapy, where people can actually utilize music in a really clinical and structured way to kind of find the best way of using music with different people to try and support them through whatever they're going through. And even though I work with people with dementia and brain injuries, I mean, a lot of that is linked with mental health because, I mean, common symptoms of dementia include like depression, and anxiety. And then obviously for someone who's had a brain injury, they've kind of gone from being their typical healthy self to then having this traumatic event happen, and then this massive loss of identity and loss of all these things that they can do. So that really impacts on mental health. So I think there's just a lot of use for music therapy. Not only, I guess the way that I usually describe music therapy personally is I say that it's got two main areas that it supports. So one is like the psychosocial, emotional well-being side, and then the other is more functional. It's not separate to music therapy, but it's like a more recent training that's been developed, and that's looking more at how we can use music to really focus on neurological conditions. So for instance, if someone's had a brain injury and perhaps they've got less use of their left side as a result, then we can use instruments and music to help rebuild some of those physical and cognitive and neurological skills and get them back or working back towards the capabilities that they used to have.
So it's sort of like developing muscle memory for that kind of injury.
Yeah, it can be. So it could be using instruments as like a target. So if someone's got limited arm movement, maybe you're having a drum that you're positioning in a place where they can just about make the movement to hit the drum. And then you'll be supporting that by playing music that motivates them to hit it in time. And then gradually, as their movement increases, you can pull the drum kind of further away to encourage more movement. So yeah, there are definite kind of standardized techniques in that area that we can use. And I think that's probably partly why music therapy is becoming more well known, I think. Because people are understanding that there are like concrete objectives that it can support, as well as the more emotional and psychological benefits that it can have that may be a bit harder to like quantify, but they're really important.
And so what do you think that music and music therapy is like, sort of a whole entity, if you like, does for people's mental health, both when it's sort of just on an emotional side and a more serious.
I think, so I guess one thing to bear in mind or to point out is that the term music therapy, so we could think of it as like, on the one hand, how individual people can use music in a therapeutic way. And then on the other hand, the profession of music therapy. So I think music itself is definitely something that people can use to like maybe for escapism or for like catharsis, if you're feeling a bit crappy or something you're going through is, you know, getting you down, then you can find songs that can help you to find songs that you relate to, I suppose, that are kind of saying all the things that you feel that you don't know how to express yourself.
Yeah, I do that when I'm stressed out or have anxiety or whatever.
And that's really valuable and really important. And I think it's amazing that music exists and that we can, even on our own, we can kind of find that and find uses for music that can help us in ways that other things can't really help.
Mm.
And then with music therapy, it's like a whole, in a way, it's a different thing because you've got a trained professional who's, in the UK, we have to do a master's degree and be registered with the Health and Care Professions Council. And then we go into sessions using music. I guess we're using music, but also the relationship between the therapist and the client.
Yeah,
is equally as important because you're building that trust with the client and you're providing that space where the session can take place and the client can get to know you and you can explore like improvisation or listening to music or recreating songs together or songwriting. So there's, I guess as a whole, music and music therapy is like this massive multifaceted entity. And it can be really tailored as well to everybody's individual needs. Does that answer the question?
It does. Sorry, I'm just thinking, am I like waffling on a bit? No. I mean, like I say, sort of when I was doing, you know, doing the research into this, I was kind of like, I'm coming into this completely blind, other than, you know, using the emotional aspect of music when I need it. But I've never, you know, a lot of my research is actually, you know, there is scientific research that proves there is a positive impact, you know, positive correlation between music and improving mental health. And I was just like, oh, that's really interesting, because it's not something that I felt had been, you know, that I was aware that had been scientifically proved by this point. I was kind of like, it's just a feeling that you have, but.
Yeah, and I think there is quite a lot of research into music therapy, and a lot of the research is qualitative, so it's looking more at like individual cases and how a series of music therapy sessions helped one person or a group of people to benefit. But then there are also studies that are more, I guess, quantitative. And kind of larger scale, a bit more like numbers and ticking boxes. Well, no, a bit more like number based. But yeah, I think it's definitely an area where we need more and more research. We need to understand more about what it is about music that really helps us.
Yeah. So sort of in relation to sort of helping people, one of the key things that I picked up when I was doing a lot of the research was a lot of people were saying it helps with, like, you know, certain conditions and trauma and grief and all that. And sort of, as a therapist, how do you see that it helps those kind of difficult points in your life where, you know, either you've got some kind of condition such as dementia or anxiety or whatever, or you're just at a really low ebb for whatever reason, you know, self-esteem or bereavement or whatever. How do you see that as being a helpful tool to mental health?
Thinking about within music therapy, with mental health, with things like anxiety and depression, I think it starts from having a music therapist who the client knows they're going to see at a regular time in a regular place, and they're not, so straight away they're not feeling these feelings on their own. They've got someone who's there to support them and to kind of delve into those feelings with them. And then it really varies from case to case, but it could be that when you're working with someone who's got something like anxiety or depression, you can start by talking about music that they like, asking if there's a song that they, that is just feeling like it's coming to mind at that moment, and you could listen to that and then think, you know, why do you like this? Is what is it about the way that it sounds? What is it about the lyrics that you connect to?
Yeah.
So really, by doing that, you're kind of having this shared experience where you're encouraging the person to think more deeply about mm-hmm. what they're feeling and trying to make connections between, oh, that sound reminds me of something, or mm-hmm. these lyrics are kind of putting into words or making sense of something that I'm feeling, and I don't know, I didn't really realize that I felt like that, and but then mm-hmm. I heard this song and I just connected with it. And then we could think about songwriting with someone. So there's lots of music therapists that do songwriting, and there's one who's come to mind called Bob Heath, who's written papers and books about songwriting within music therapy. Mm-hmm. And I think something that he says is that when you work with someone to write a song, you're there as a music therapist, the kind of expert musician,
mm-hmm.
To really support and guide the person and to help them think about what they want to say and put it into words and put it into a lyrical structure, mm-hmm. put sounds to it. And that it's almost like, I think what Bob Heath said, that it's like the song becomes a vessel for all of the mm-hmm. the emotions that you have.
Yeah.
So rather than having to face the difficult feelings straight on by just talking about them, you can kind of put it into something, into a song, and it yeah. makes it feel a bit safer, I think, a bit more manageable.
Yeah.
And I think that's partly why we listen to music, because we
absolutely
we can have that song that is like the vessel for our feelings.
Yeah. I think it's quite interesting that you say that, actually, because a lot, I mean, I have that. I have, you know, when I'm in a certain mood, I have a certain list of songs that I listen to, and I have one or two that I listen to all the time. And something that I really did notice when I was doing a lot of research was they were saying that a lot of music used as like calming agents tend to be, you know, the what do you call it? Non-lyrical instrumental. That's the word I'm thinking of. Instrumental yeah. type. But I think it's quite interesting that for me, I find the lyrical content of a song is in a way more relevant than the music, and it's just kind of like I couldn't separate them, but I don't think that the music itself would have the same impact without that lyrical content. Is that something that you guys pick up on when you're looking at music as well?
Yeah, I think it really depends who we're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is a generalization, but it might be that younger people connect more to lyrics.
Yeah.
But you might find that some older people connect to like classical music or more instrumental music. And that's a generalization, but I think it's very individual. The thing with lyrics is that they very clearly say what they mean, whether it's directly or a metaphor, it's still the words and the language that we understand. And with instrumental music, I know when I've been doing songwriting with clients, it's always been involving lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
If we're actually thinking about creating something and then recording it, it always takes that kind of typical song form where we've got the music and we've got the lyrics and we've got a chorus. But I think it can be, for some people, the sounds that they hear and the way that a chord progression like moves them can definitely be part of what they find moving and what they can connect to in a song as well.
Do you think, you were saying like it's a lot tends to be young people that connect to lyrics, is that, do you think it's because it's a generational thing, so naturally if you're in the older generation it might, you know, it might not be something that you've heard, so you naturally connect to the more classical stuff because that's what you were used to at the age where you start to connect with music?
Yeah, maybe. I kind of feel wary now that I said that older younger person thing, but
it's fine, because I think I agree with you, to be honest. I have to admit.
I think nowadays, definitely popular music is a massive kind of minefield of songs, but 99.9% of the time, a song that you hear that comes under like the pop music category is going to have lyrics in it. I think definitely people grow up, I guess from the 50s onwards, a lot of popular music has involved lyrics.
Yeah.
Before that, maybe there were more you know, swing bands and orchestras, yeah. and there was more instrumental music, so people, yeah, I guess naturally became used to hearing that.
Yeah,
but it's a little bit less common now for the average kid growing up.
Yeah,
maybe tune into instrumental music.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, I'll listen to the odd instrumental thing, but to me, I'm much prefer listening to something that's actually got things to say.
Yeah,
you know, it makes more sense to me. And I mean, I think what's quite interesting is a lot of pop music today, they're much more open about what they're talking about. They're kind of, this isn't like a cloak and dagger kind of thing. They're going, this is what this song is about. And I think that's,
yeah,
I've seen a lot of, you know, sort of albums or singles that have been released over the last couple of years, they're very much gone, this is about a struggle with mental health or whatever. And that,
yeah,
I don't know, I feel like knowing that, you know, people that you look up to who are famous or for whatever reason, knowing that they're going through the same thing is a good thing when you're thinking about how music can help with mental health, because you know that they get it.
Yeah. And I think that's it's been a massive shift, isn't it, to get people talking about mental health.
Absolutely.
And to know that everybody has issues at some time. For some people, they can be a lot more intense or more prolonged, but that it's okay and we can talk about it and we can sing about it and we can actually address it and know that we're not alone, like you're just saying. And one thing that came to mind then actually was during our music therapy training, definitely the course that I was on, we also discussed this kind of more, well, that music has a potential in a way to be used in a harmful way as well.
Right.
So there's this balance, I suppose, between having songs that you listen to that are for escapism or for catharsis, but then there's a kind of fine line where it could go into listening to music to avoid thinking about things and kind of burying yourself in music and cutting yourself off from other people. So there's definitely a side of it where it can be a bit harmful if used, I don't know, without caution, I guess.
Yeah.
But for the most part, yeah, I think it's absolutely something that people can find something they like, and they can, yeah, like you're saying, you can connect with lyrics and think, I'm not the only person who's feeling like this. There's all this stuff that's in my head, but now I've found a song that's like able to verbalize all of that for me.
Yeah. And just to that point, what is it about music therapy that you think makes it like, why is it so vital that people have the access to music and to music therapy to help?
I think it's vital to have access to music and music therapy because there are so many difficult issues that are around at the moment. Some things that have been around, you know, forever, but also there's just all these things like climate change and world politics that feels like there's so much pressure, especially for younger people, knowing that they're going into this world of just a lot of uncertainty and social media and, you know, trolling and being able to see images of people that look perfect and they're living the perfect life. And it puts a lot of pressure on people to feel like, well, I think it can often make people feel like they're not good enough or they're not achieving enough, or even if they do achieve, what's the point, because the world's going to burn up in 50 years or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's really important to have music and music therapy because of the things we've talked about, like it can offer you something where you can relate to what someone else is going through, but also it's a really social thing as well, or it can be, because we can play instruments together and people can create music together and it can create this sort of bonding. And you know, you could have, like right now thinking about what's happening in Ukraine, you can have a person from Ukraine, a person from Russia in a band together making music and kind of breaking those barriers down. And then, you know, the same in a music therapy session, you could have two strangers that are meeting for the first time, but they can create music together straight away, because in music therapy, it doesn't have to sound like aesthetically amazing. It's more about having these instruments where you can express stuff and you can get emotions out, and you have the music therapist there to facilitate that and to kind of direct and guide that.
I think it's really interesting to get you know, your professional insight, because obviously I'm coming at it going, you know, this is my experience. I've not had a major experience, but it's interesting to see how, you know, how you guys from a professional perspective are able to go, you know, well, this is why it's important, and this is what we've seen for, you know, years, and this is how it can develop, which is really fascinating for me, sort of, like I say, coming in a little bit blind. Talking about the growth of the music therapy industry, why do you think that it's become not prevalent, but certainly grown more in the last few years?
I think it's a lot to do with that shift to acknowledging mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's one aspect of it. And then realizing that music therapy is this profession that can help support people who are going through difficult mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's also a lot of research has been done into music and dementia. So knowing that music can unlock memories, and you can talk to someone who has dementia and the conversation might not make any sense, but you start playing a song that they know, and maybe they're singing along, they remember all the lyrics, and then they start remembering where they used to go on a Saturday with their family, and what their mum used to cook, or their brother used to play. So I think it's partly that there's a lot of research into music therapy and dementia that's mm-hmm. really helped people understand that that's very important. So then more funding is put into getting music therapy in place.
Yeah.
With the more neurologic music therapy side of it, there's more awareness of how we can use music and elements of music mm-hmm. to help people with things like attention and executive functions. So being able to like plan and organize thoughts
mm-hmm.
and plan, I'm going to play this, and then I'm going to play this, and I'm going to hear instructions that I'm given and follow those instructions. And mm-hmm. And then also with mental health, I think a lot more schools are open to having therapists, mm-hmm. including music therapists, on board to give children like an outlet. So I've worked at a couple of schools for children with like social, emotional, mental health needs.
Mm-hmm.
And they've really valued music therapy, because you can get a kid into a room where they've got all these instruments, and it's their time to just be loud, make a noise, do things that they're not allowed to do in the classroom because it's too disruptive, or the teachers need to get through their lessons so they can't spend time focusing on that one child. So I think schools are also really seeing the benefit of music therapy. Yeah, and probably a lot of other reasons that I can't think of right now.
That's
but...
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. That I think a lot of the sort of, not a mental health crisis, but a lot of what you hear about mental health tends to be of the younger generation. So I think almost providing that therapy at that young age would stop that, or at least they'd know how to help themselves, I think, which is really, really useful. So like, what would be your big takeaways for anybody who was thinking, well, how can, you know, how are music and mental health interlinked, and how can music support mental health? What would be your big takeaways for anyone about that?
I think for like just for a personal use of music, it can be a case of finding songs that you connect with, and like you were saying, finding lyrics that you connect with.
Mm-hmm.
That can help you realize that you're not alone in the feelings that you're having.
Mm-hmm.
And also learning instruments and playing instruments with other people, it gives you something concrete to focus on. And, you know, if you're learning an instrument, then you've got these goals that you're working towards all the time. And it's quite a healthy outlet, and it gives your brain something to really. So I guess the takeaway would be either to find music that you connect to and find helps you by listening to it, to make music with other people, even if it sounds rubbish, you'll find probably some friendships and some like common ground you've got with other people. And then in terms of music therapy, finding, you know, a local music therapist who can use their expertise and their experience to meet the person and think, okay, how can I help? What could we do in sessions that's going to really help develop someone's self-awareness or self-esteem? How can I find a way to connect with that person and help them through what they're going through at the moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really, really good takeaways. I think a lot of what we talked about was quite complex. So being able to sort of go, this is the big things that you want people to take away from it, is really, really useful. Because I think a lot of people, they look at music and they look at their mental health, and you know, we think, oh, it's just going to make me feel better when I listen to it, but we don't think about the actual, you know, the complexities of it, which I think are really important.
Yeah, I think sometimes listening to music as well, it can help you understand yourself a bit better. It's so important in just helping develop who you are and get to understand your identity. And once you feel more confident and more sure of who you are, I think it's easier to fit in, or not to fit in, but to easier to know kind of where you are with other people, and and how and where you fit in, and what your strengths are, what you can bring to situations.
Well, I think that's all of my questions. I really appreciate your time, Sarah. I know it's been a long day for you.
No, it's good to chat. Actually, it's kind of useful for me as well to have a chat and think, because I just go to work and do my job. I don't always have that time to really like put all the thoughts together. And yeah, it's helpful definitely to think of how to talk about it with other people. Yeah. Well, no, so yeah, thank you for asking me.
No, you're welcome.
Yeah, good to meet you.
And you.
Thanks.
Thank you.